I'm Arun Vanagopal, in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. The U.S. intelligence community is on edge as the Trump administration clears out anyone deemed disloyal to the president. Last week, President Donald Trump announced Richard Grenell, the U.S. ambassador to Germany, as the acting director of national intelligence. In this role, he works with 17 different federal agencies and organizations, like the CIA, Office of Naval Intelligence, and the Defense Intelligence Agency. Grenell is a Trump loyalist with no national intelligence experience, and he replaces Joseph McGuire, a longtime national security professional. The president forced out McGuire last week after learning intelligence officials briefed lawmakers on Russia's efforts to intervene in the upcoming election on Trump's behalf. McGuire also drew the ire of Trump back in the fall when he publicly defended the whistleblower at the center of the impeachment scandal.
I believe the whistleblower is operating in good faith.
Well, then they couldn't
be. The law.
They couldn't be in good faith if they were acting as a political hack, could they?
Mr. Chairman, my job is to support and lead the entire intelligence community. That individual works for me. Therefore, it is my job to make sure that I support and defend that person.
As acting director, Grenell will serve in this role until March 11th. That's when the president is expected to put forth his nominee for a permanent director, who will then need to be confirmed by the Senate. And although his tenure will be temporary, Grenell is already leaving his mark on the historically nonpartisan intelligence community by ousting Andrew Holman, the number two official in the office of the Director of National Intelligence, late last week. Grenell's appointment is raising concerns for many within the intelligence community as well as Democratic lawmakers. The staffing shakeup is just the latest point of tension between the Trump administration and the intelligence community, and also part of a wider purge taking place in Washington, D.C. following Trump's acquittal in the Senate. For more on this and what it means for U.S. national security, we're joined by Ned Price, Director of Policy and Communications at National Security Action and former spokesperson for the National Security Council. You also spent 11 years at the CIA. Ned, thanks for being here.
Good to be with you.
Also with us is Daniel Dresner, Professor of International Politics at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. Daniel, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Arun.
Ned, I want to start with Joseph McGuire, who President Trump ousted from the role of acting director last week for basically doing his job, right?
Well, that's right. If you read and believe what has been printed in the New York Times and Washington Post, the stories allege that what sparked President Trump's ire was essentially, as you said, Joseph McGuire authorizing one of his senior officials to go to Congress to brief on the latest with regard to election security. But it's more than just doing his job, Arun. It's actually a legal requirement. For the past 40 years, the intelligence community has been required to keep Congress fully and currently informed of issues that are germane to its oversight. And frankly, as we learned in the whistleblower case and impeachment, there is nothing that is more integral to the issue of congressional oversight than the sanctity and security of our elections. And what the New York Times reported last week is that President Trump grew so angry that the senior DNI official, the official responsible for the security of our elections, actually briefed Congress on what she was legally required to do and therefore essentially terminated Joseph McGuire from his post weeks before he was required to step down.
Now, Ned, just to take a quick step back, what exactly does the Director of National Intelligence and its office do?
Well, there's really no mold for the Director of National Intelligence because there have only been five individuals who have held this post in a Senate-confirmed capacity since the post was created by Congress in 2004. If you look at the legislation that creates the post, there are three primary charges that this individual shall carry forward. The first is to serve as the head of the intelligence community. As you mentioned in your introduction, there are 17 departments and agencies, including the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, that form part part of this intelligence community enterprise. The second is to serve as the chief intelligence advisor to the president. And typically, what this has meant over the past nearly two decades, 15 or so years now, is that the DNI will play a key role briefing the president on what's in the PDB or the president's daily brief several times a week. This individual has tended to start national security policy meetings, the NSC meetings that meet in the White House Situation Room that the president attends. This individual, and they've all been men to date, this individual will provide an intelligence brief to sort of set the table for the policy discussion that is to follow. And three, the legislation charges this individual with overseeing the implementation of the strategic agenda of the operational capabilities and objectives of the intelligence community. Now, the five individuals, the five men who have held this post, have all served in this function in slightly different ways. I think if you talk to intelligence veterans, the model that people typically look to for how this role should be carried out is President Obama's second DNI, Jim Clapper. Jim Clapper avoided some of the pitfalls of getting too operationally involved in the decisions of the CIA and the other intelligence agencies under his purview, but played the role of a coordinator, of someone who steered the intelligence enterprise strategically at the macro level quite ably, quite effectively. And frankly, I think that is precisely what the legislation envisioned.
Daniel, let's talk a little about Richard Grenell, the new acting director. He has been described as a Trump loyalist, but it wasn't always that way, was it?
No, it wasn't. Apparently, during the 2016 presidential campaign, Grenell tweeted a number of times about how Trump was basically unfit for office. I believe those tweets have now been scrubbed, which is understandable given the premium that Trump clearly places on loyalty in terms of when he hires his national security professionals.
So what do you make of the fact that someone who was a critic is now in this position?
Well, this is basically where this is the bed you have to lie in if you are a Republican that wants to serve in this administration. In some ways, the hiring of Grenell or the appointment of Grenell to the acting DNI spot is consistent with a larger pattern in which Trump has made it extremely clear that the first and frankly only criteria that he places in terms of who he's going to pick for his senior national security appointments is loyalty to the president. You know, there was a story that came out, I believe, in the Times over the weekend that says that Robert O'Brien, who's Trump's fourth national security advisor, apparently opened some of the National Security Council meetings by essentially distributing printouts of Trump's tweets, in which that is supposed to be the way in which they're going to implement policy. They basically take his tweets and try to reverse engineer them. You can argue to some extent Grenell is simply an extension of the way that O'Brien is running the NSC, except now within the intelligence community. Grenell is also known sort of as a gadfly on Twitter. When he was U.S. ambassador to Germany, and he still is U.S. ambassador to Germany, actually, he was known primarily for engaging the media, particularly Fox News. He was generally, according to reports, basically isolated within Germany itself.
Now, as we mentioned, he has no national intelligence experience. Does this suggest that the president couldn't find an appropriate loyalist from within the ranks of the intelligence community?
I think that's a safe assumption. Or the other way to think about it is that essentially, think of it as a Venn diagram, which is you want to find simultaneously someone who is considered has sufficient background and experience to actually competently run DNI and someone who is loyal to Donald Trump. And the intersection of those two circles is either narrow or non-existent. You know, there's been reports that I think Pete Hoekstra might be the person that Trump puts forward. You could sort of make a case that Hoekstra might be qualified. He was a former member of Congress, served on the Intelligence Committee, I believe. But in some ways, what's telling is that the whoever Trump announces as the permanent appointment might not even matter necessarily, because at least for this year, because by once he announces that appointment and puts it forward to Congress, it reboots the amount of time that Grenell can serve as acting DNI. It gives him another 6 months, basically. And so the interesting question is going to be, will Trump ever be able to pick someone that actually gets past Senate confirmation? There's no way Grenell would. It's telling the degree to which the Republicans, I believe outside of Roy Blunt, as senator, have said absolutely nothing in favor of Grenell as the appointment. And so the question becomes, will Trump simply sort of exploit this loophole in the Vacancies Act, where what he does is put forward a name that has to be dealt with in terms of Senate confirmation. The Senate won't confirm him, but it allows Grinnell to actually retain the acting position.
Ned, let's look at one of Grinnell's first moves, the hiring of Kash Patel as a top advisor. What, if anything, does this tell us?
Well, I think it tells us that he's going to run the intelligence community in a way that's profoundly different from that of his predecessors. One of the strengths of the intelligence community since really its inception in the late 1940s in the post-World War II era was its apolitical identity. There are very few political appointees within the hierarchy of U.S. intelligence, and that is for a very good reason. There should be a firm dividing line, a red line, between intelligence and policy. Intelligence, in the best of times, is supposed to inform policy. Policy is never supposed to color or contour what the U.S. intelligence community presents as fact, as objective truth or analysis. I think what Rick Grinnell is trying to do, at least what he's signaling, is that he is installing individuals who don't have much experience in intelligence, but what they do have, they make up for in spades in ideology. These are ideologues, people who have been at the side of people like Devin Nunes, the vice chair of the House Intelligence Community, a staunch Trump ally, someone who has served at the National Security Council with President Trump. And I think this is emblematic of precisely why President Trump selected Rick Grinnell for this acting position. He didn't want Rick Grinnell to serve as a DNI, at least not as the 2004 legislation envisions. He wants someone and really a team there who will, above all, protect and prize President Trump's personal interests, even when those clash with the national interest. I think the analogy that I think is useful and instructive here, I think President Trump wants a Bill Barr for the intelligence community, someone who will be there atop this enterprise to do his bidding, even when his bidding isn't necessarily consistent with the national business.
So, Daniel, in that respect, this is just an interim position, but you think it can fundamentally reshape the intelligence infrastructure here?
Oh, sure. I mean, to back up what Ned said, in some ways, to be fair, all presidents should want to trust their intelligence advisors. You know, if you're the president, you want to have people that you can trust in these kinds of positions. And this has been an argument that the Trump loyalists have been making. But as Ned said, the issue is that if you're an intelligence professional, you are also obligated to tell the president what the intelligence actually shows, regardless of whether or not that intelligence actually conflicts with something that Donald Trump has said in a tweet. And we've known from the past 3 years that Donald Trump does not like it when he gets intelligence briefings that contradict his core beliefs. Now, ordinarily, you would want the beliefs to change. You would want a president to update their priors and understand, oh, I guess I was wrong about this. Maybe there's some new information. But in essence, Trump, by hiring Grinnell, has actually signaled something rather different to the intelligence community. It's a warning shot across the bow of all the professionals, which is do not, under any circumstances whatsoever, pass forward information that contradicts the president of the United States, regardless of whether factually that's correct or not.
Daniel Dresner is professor of international politics at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University, and Ned Price is the director of policy and communications at National Security Action and a former spokesperson for the National Security Council. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.